Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You have reached episode number 410, entitled Tony Zioli Thinks That Radio's Not Dead. It's Got an Online Future. It was published on Thursday, the 20th of February, 2025. My name is Nathan Wrigley, and before we get into the conversation with Tony, a few bits of housekeeping. The first thing to mention is that if you're listening to this podcast, chances are you're into WordPress. Well, it turns out that there's loads of other people into WordPress as well, because they're listening to this also. And if you have a product, service, maybe you're into hosting, blocks, themes, plugins, whatever it is, and you'd like to get your product or service in front of that audience, head to wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out how we can get you on the show, a bit like the sponsors that you'll hear about in a moment. Also, if you like what we do, head to wpbuilds.com/subscribe. Over there, you'll be able to sign up to our newsletter, which we produce twice a week, once when the Thursday podcast drops. That's what you're listening to now. But also every week on a Monday at 2 p.m. UK time, we do the This Week in WordPress show. It's live. We have lots of people commenting. It's very nice. And we parcel that up as an audio podcast as well and ship it out every Tuesday. And you'll also get an email about that. So yeah, to subscribe, wpbuilds.com/subscribe. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. You can find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also supported by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. This podcast is also made possible by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of roller coaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Well, try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and Omnisend for their continuing ongoing support of the WP Builds podcast. Podcasts like this cannot happen without the fine support of companies like that. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, it's Tony Zioli. He's going to be chatting to me today all about internet radio. Turns out that Tony has a real history, a heritage of being involved in audio production, both online and offline, and he's on the podcast to talk about that today. You may think that radio is dead, even internet radio is dead. Well, Tony has some products or services in the WordPress space to counter that argument. At the beginning of the podcast, I kind of get Tony to introduce himself and he lets rip. He keeps talking and tells us all about some of the products and services that he offers, the plugins that he has in the WordPress space. There's a lot about his history and his thoughts about radio and audio in general online. And I hope that you enjoy it. I am joined on the podcast by Tony Zioli. Hello, Tony.
Hey, Nathan. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for joining me and joining the podcast today. Really appreciate it. This is right up my street. This podcast is going to be about something that I'm personally really into. And if you've followed anything that I've done, you know that basically all I do online these days is create audio content. The occasional bit of video thrown in, but I'm all about the audio. And Tony has a couple of really interesting products out there. Now, I don't know anything about them. I've never used them. So I'm going to be asking Tony questions and it'll be a story of how it works, what it does, and you never know, if you're an audio person as well, this might be right up your street as well. So first off, Tony, do you just want to do your little two-minute bio? Tell us about you, where you're from, what your relationship is with technology, WordPress, all of that.
Oh, it's more than 2 minutes, but I'll try to break it down for you.
Nice.
My name is Tony Zioli, and I am the founder of netmix.com and radio station for WordPress. My journey has been, right now I live in Asheville, North Carolina, ended up in North Carolina in 2010, just through a happenstance meeting at WordCamp Raleigh, where I got a job at UNC Chapel Hill, to work in a digital newsroom, and I moved from New York City. So I started off in Boston as a DJ, back in the 80s and 90s, and I became a major club DJ for a number of years. And through that, I became what they call a Billboard Dance Chart Reporting DJ. Billboard Magazine used to have a dance chart in the magazine that all the labels would, push their music to some of the major club DJs, and then it would get on the chart. And then they would use that as a licensing vehicle. For example, in the UK where you are, a lot of UK labels might license something off the dance chart because they saw it move up the chart, right? So the Billboard Dance Chart Reporter was really important. And so I was DJing in a number of nightclubs in the Boston area as a Billboard Dance Chart Reporter. I was working for a record label called XMix. And XMix was a remix service that gave birth to a very well-known DJ producer named Armand Van Helden. And at XMix, I was doing sales and distribution globally, as well as managing Armand through the management company. His manager was Neil Petricone, but I was kind of, really on the top there, getting him bookings and remixes. And as a matter of fact, there was DJ Magazine in the UK. I got him his first article. But that being said, in Boston, things started turning for me in the club scene. The club scene was very Euro-focused in terms of people from the Netherlands, people from Turkey, Greece, England, France, all different places around the world, South America. And I was a white American kid named DJ Tony Z. And there were other DJs named like Ricos and Tassos and Manolo. And they spoke different languages than I did it. So I started losing gigs. And I was like, well, what am I going to do? I'm part of this scene. It's really cool. And I'm not getting hired anywhere else. And so I started looking around thinking like, well, where's the audio online? Where's the DJ mixes? And prior to that, around 1991, 92, a girlfriend of mine at the time, she invited me to Harvard University to sit in the apartment of a Harvard IT guy. Like, I didn't know anything about IT, nothing. I lived next to Harvard University. So I was right there near the campus. And she said, you got to check out this thing called the internet. And I was like, the internet, what's that? Right. So he showed us at his apartment one late night, like 9 p.m., went over to his house. And he's on this thing called Telnet. And Telnet is a software application, right? That's like what email and chat and everything that we do today is really based on, sending images. And so I saw him send images over the web and, talking to contacts around the world. And, those are really the things I remember. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And so I kind of left his apartment, but didn't really know what to do with that because I didn't have a computer. And so I had been talking to my dad, and he said, get ready to buy a new computer, Tony. And I was like, oh, that's great. A computer? I don't even know. I don't have one. And he said, oh, I'll give you my old one. So he gave me this compact Presario desktop. And I got on, and I got Telnet, and I got on CompuServe or Prodigy, whichever one I signed up with my 14.4 baud modem. And this is the 90s, right?
Yeah.
This is the early 90s. The early, there wasn't even a browser yet. Mozilla hadn't happened. Netscape wasn't a thing. And you had to use Prodigy or CompuServe and just talk with text, right? And just send people messages or images or whatever have you. And so, I got online and I found, then AOL came about, America Online. They sent a CD to every house in America. And so I was able to get on AOL And in AOL, there started to be DJ news groups and DJ chat rooms. And because I was a DJ, I wanted to be in those areas. But after a while, I said, oh, it's great. I can chit chat with these people, but where's the audio? Where's the music? How can I broadcast on this thing? Can anybody listen to me? And triangulating between losing gigs and being a Billboard Dance Chart reporter and not being sure what was going to happen, and then being on AOL and looking at the landscape and saying, where's the audio? I thought to myself, you know, how am I going to put DJs on? I should put myself on the internet. This is 1992, 1993. How should I put myself on the internet, right? As a DJ, maybe I'll blow up that way and I won't lose gigs and I'll be global or whatever. And I was working with ActRex and all that stuff. And then I found out about this big trade show called Internet World. Internet World was a huge trade show that happened in every major city, New York, Boston, Los Angeles, San Francisco. And I went around the country and I went to Internet World probably around 93, I think. And I said, you know, how there's got to be something here. So I found this technology called Real Audio by a company called Real Networks.
I remember it, yeah.
Yep, one in Seattle. And it was a server software with a server client. So you had to have the server software to be able to encode the streams, and then the client on anybody's desktop computer would play it back. That cost $10,000 to purchase for the server. And that was probably, I don't know, 100 people could listen, you know, simultaneously on that at that price. So I was DJing one night at a club, and this guy named Jason Mail from one of the first web development companies in Boston, maybe even the first, came up to me. He was a wealthy guy. His father had a Ferrari dealership. He had like 6 Ferraris. It's crazy. And he, you know, this is that Euro scene, right? Like people have money and they're rolling into the clubs and all that. And so he comes up to me and says, Tony, you have any ideas? You know, I own this internet, you know, web development company now. Do you want to do something? And I said, yeah, I've been thinking about streaming my DJ mixes online. So he said, come on down and talk to me. So I went down to his office, talked to him. We got it going that I would spec out, you know, do information architecture, IA, before I even know what IA was. I just drew it on the piece of paper. This is what I want to do before OmniGraffle and all these IA documenting softwares that I use today and Balsamic. And, you know, he took that. We did our first website. Took about, you know, a few months to do. Cost me 10 grand. You know, in the WordPress world today, you can have a website for free. But back then, you needed somebody to code it and do HTML, and that was all new. And so it was expensive. And so I invested $10,000 of my own money. I had been working also during the day at a retail electronics store selling mobile phones. And so I would take that money and my DJ money and invest it in what would become NetMix. Because I worked for XMix, I was like, well, where should I call my
site? Yeah, it's a good one.
And I called it NetMix.com. So in 1995, 96, I registered NetMix.com and we put up the site in January of 96. And I began to stream not only myself, but the world's most influential DJs, like Paul Oakenfolder, Murillo, John Digweed, Carl Cox, you know, all these DJs. So I became the first person in the world with NetMix to stream these DJ mixes. You can go on the Wayback Machine. You can see early NetMix and then the history of it progressing. And I moved it to New York City in 1996. By September of 96, I was like, I'm out of Boston. I got to go to New York. And I knew a record promoter who was promoting music to me as a Billboard Dance Chart reporter. He said, why don't you come and we'll marry my promotion company to DJs, you know, and you're online and we'll go out to labels and we'll do a marketing service online. So I did that. And NetMix became one of the first companies to actually market music online. Now, jump fast forward to, you know, all the trials and tribulations of a startup into the late 90s. We were doing about 1 million unique visitors a year by 1999, almost 2000. I ended up selling NetMix to another youth culture startup that was bringing a bunch of youth culture companies together to sell advertising around content, right? And then it was .com 1.0, and all of a sudden everything fell apart, and everybody lost their funding. New York City became a ghost town. I mean, there were huge parties. I remember going to a party on Ellis Island where they shipped everybody on. They rented the harbor cruise boats.
Yeah.
To ship like 5,000 or 10,000 people over to Ellis Island for a party with two stages, with like all the, you know, major club artists, and they fed everybody. It was crazy. Those were the heady times of .com 1.0. But then because, you know, the bottom fell out of the market, things happened. I ended up getting NetMix back from the company who acquired us because they went out of business. And then my partners and I got into it, and we ended up separating, and I ended up shutting down NetMix in 2001. So it was a really great experience to grow a startup in that era, resulting in not much after the fact. But it's okay. So fast forward to 2000, and yeah, I didn't do anything with NetMix for a while. I found WordPress in 2003. I was working at the Associated Press, which is a major news gathering organization that licenses their content to news organizations worldwide, like CNN and, you know, Al Jazeera and all these, you know, news, big news organizations. And so I was working at the Associated Press. They were rolling out this thing called the ASAP Young Readers Project. I was a program manager there, and they said, we need you to build a blog, a companion blog for the website. And I was talking to the lead developer, and he was of the mindset that he wanted to use a Java. There was a Java blogging system called Roller Weblogger at the time, just as WordPress was coming online.
Oh, you dodged a bullet there.
Well, he forced me into Roller because he was building the site.
Oh, you didn't dodge a bullet there. Okay.
So he had to marry the site, you know, whatever the database was that they were using, and publish in into the Java, you know, base system, into their database and into Roller, right? So I was forced into Roller, but there was movable type in WordPress, and I had settled on WordPress, but he didn't want to go to WordPress. So, okay, fine, right? We'll do it in Roller Weblogger. And so WordPress, I put it on the side for a little bit, but then I launched NetMix again in WordPress around 2005, but didn't really do much with it. 2009 came along. I was working in different startups and companies and all these kinds of things and helping other people. And then 2010 comes along, and I say, oh, I really need to go to this. I started going to WordCamp NYC, and I spoke at WordCamp NYC in 2009. I met Matt Mullenweg at WordCamp NYC in 2009, who he came to, you know, promote and talk about WordPress. And once that happened, I was starting to be immersed in this world of WordPress, and how can I apply it? I started doing small websites in it for clients, and I decided to set up my own web development business called Digital Strategy Works. So I started that in 2009. And then I said, I'm going to check out this WordCamp Raleigh. I'll go down there. So my wife and I decided to go to WordCamp Raleigh. And I was sitting at the lunch table, and I met an individual who worked at UNC Chapel Hill. And I started talking to him, asked him if there was any opportunities in WordPress at UNC Chapel Hill. And he said, yes, in fact, there is. And so why don't you apply for it? So I applied for it and didn't get that gig, but they called me back and said, you know, there is another role. We just started this new program in the journalism school, and I had worked with the Associated Press and at Cablevision, which is a big cable company in New York City, and did web. I was a web producer there, and also a television producer, or a cable television producer. And the head of the new program flew me down to interview me, said, you're hired. I moved my stuff down in July of 2010. My wife, you know, moved, she and I moved there. And then we started this project called the Riesfeld's Digital Newsroom in the journalism school. That newsroom paid the students a stipend on a weekly basis. So they made like $325 a week each one. And they could work in a digital newsroom and get paid while they studied.
Nice.
And so I ended up I ended up bringing WordPress platform into the newsroom, launching the Reese Feltz Digital News Project on WordPress. That was our news site. I guided the students in digital news production online and, you know, streaming and video production and these sorts of things, as well as, you know, the editorial components and text, and managed that project for about a year and a half. And then there was some issues with the head of the program. 6 months after I got there, got caught having an inappropriate relationship with a student and got fired. And that left my job exposed and blah, 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 blah. So I ended up losing my job because they wanted to move on from that era to a new era and hire, you know, different people for different reasons, and wanted to go all mobile, no WordPress. Didn't realize that you could run mobile applications with WordPress, but that neither here nor there. So went from there, and then, you know, had a journey working for other companies, got to Asheville. And in Asheville, I've always been in radio. I've always been close to radio. I've done mix shows on radio. I've appeared on radio stations. I interned at a radio station in high school, and I always wanted to be on radio, and I never got there. And I was really disappointed by that in my career, that I never was involved in radio in a way that I was working in radio. And so an LPFM is a low power FM. It's mandated by the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission here in the United States, that once there was consolidation in radio in terms of iHeartMedia aggregating 100, 200 stations, 400 stations across the country and bringing them all under one umbrella, local broadcasting then was impacted greatly because we started having regional program directors who would direct programming for, you know, 100 stations in a region and not in the local market. And so the FCC and the government came out with, okay, LPFMs that could only broadcast within a 5 to 10 mile range at like 100 watts instead of 50,000 watts. And there were a few LPFMs in Asheville. So I started DJing in Asheville, and I set up this thing called the Asheville House Music Society. I've always been close to house music through X-Mix and through my own personal DJ journey. And I wanted to bring house music, the style of house music, the New York, the London, the UK sound, from labels like Defected and AMPM here to Asheville, and the Chicago sound and the San Francisco sound of house. So I set up this thing called Asheville House Music Society on WordPress. And then I got a radio show, and I called it AVLHMS. And so I started doing the radio show at the LPFM in one LPFM called Asheville FM. And I was logging into the website, which was WordPress at the time, and didn't realize they were using this plugin called Radio Station to set up their show schedule and their playlists. And so I was just DJing, right, doing my show. I moved on from Asheville FM, and I went to another station, WPVN 103.7, and she asked me, can you rebuild my website for me, redesign it? And so I logged into her site, and she was using Radio Station as well. I'm like, oh, what's this radio station plugin? You know, where does it come from? You know, why is it? So I started looking it up on .org, found the radio station plugin, see who the developer was. And I was using Divi to rebuild Elegant Themes, Divi Page Builder to rebuild the WPVM website. And so I got to a point where radio station hadn't been updated since 2015. This was 2019. And I contacted the developer, and I said, you know, are you going to release an update? Because it's really not working with page builders. It's really having a hard time doing this. And what are you going to do with it? And her name, Nikki Blight. Nikki Blight is a Colorado-based woman who developed Radio Station in 2013 based on a Drupal plugin that she had found and just recreated it in WordPress and released it. And she had built a decent sized community already. People were commenting on her website, and people were downloading it, and they were asking questions on the .org support forums. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. You know, so I talked to her, and I said, are you going to do anything with it? And she said, no, I got a job in Denver, and, you know, I really can't focus on that anymore based on my full-time job. Do you want to take it over? And nice. me, Mr. Entrepreneur, I was like, sure, why not? I'm not a developer. I'm a project manager and program manager and information architect, right? And somebody who works with creative designers. And I've always been wrapped in that throughout my technology career, you know, over from the 90s building NetMix into startups and corporations and all the things that I've worked in. I jumped back into the 2000s, and I also worked at Major League Baseball and video streaming, and I worked at two banks, JP Morgan Chase and Lehman Brothers, in audio streaming. So I was a project manager, you know, facilitating audio streaming of meetings and these sorts of things. It just so happens, an interesting story, it just so happens I was streaming the derivatives trainings for Lehman Brothers, and derivatives are what took down the global economy. So I was in the room with the derivatives brokers, actually streaming their trainings with the world's greatest mathematicians to Lehman offices worldwide. And the derivatives is what they used as a tool to do whatever shenanigans they did. And so I was like, right. So I saw 9/11, the dot-com 1.0, and I was involved in the derivatives trade. Like, you don't want to hang
around.
You're
Forrest Gump.
Yeah, I'm Forrest Gump. You want to stay a little clear of me, right? And so 2019, so I take it over, have no plan, and I post on the WordPress jobs board that I'm looking for somebody, and a developer in Australia, Tony Hayes, contacts me and says, yeah, I use Radio Station on one of my friend, you know, websites, and yeah, it's really cool. I'm a DJ too, you know, so I talked to him. He said, I'd love to help you with it. And then he started helping me with Radio Station and reconfiguring it. We were able to relaunch it in 2019 as a whole new, you know, rebuilt plugin on the .org repository. And it's a good thing that it was already established, because then I didn't have to go through what I'm realizing now, the queue and waiting for approvals. So it was I don't know what I would have done if I had known that. I would have had to deal with that by starting it from scratch. So I kind of jumped the shark there and bypassed it. And so he rebuilt it. He and I rebuilt it. We refactored it. We relaunched it. And it already had over 1,000, I think it was like 2,000 or so installs. And so I was like, I'll take this over. And we rewrote the landing page on .org and all that. And then we worked on that for a year. And then I decided, hey, let's build the pro version. So we built Radio Station Pro. You know, as a companion to Radio Station, and that introduced a lot of new features, kind of like a Google calendar, so to speak, of being able to create your show schedule. So you would pop in, you could see a visual view of the schedule. And then we had schedule overrides, which were already there, but we improved them because the overrides weren't, you know, they were very primitive. Overrides are, you know, I have a show, and it's going to be overridden by a news, like, or maybe there's a big event, and now we have to override that show that's already being broadcast with an override to say, oh, this is the new news event that's coming up. And then it also had the ability to do the repeats and also repetitive scheduling. So this show appears, you know, every week at 3:00, but then we needed to make it so, oh, it appears for 3 weeks at 3:00, and for 2 weeks at 5:00, and for 6 weeks at 7:00, you know, different times. And so there was a lot of thought going into that. And then we built something called StreamPlayer, which is currently in the queue for approval as a free plugin. And StreamPlayer is our sticky footer player that persists, like a Spotify or a SoundCloud or a MixCloud player that persists. And WordPress websites don't really have that. There was one streaming player on ThemeForest that I found that can do that, and it was really robust, but it wasn't integrated with our tool, with Radio Station, where we'd have to show what show was playing right now, right? Or what track was playing and what show and who the host was. So we needed to build our own. And so we did that, and we're releasing that soon as its own free open source freestanding plugin, as well as the StreamPlayer Pro, which is available right now. So you got Radio Station Pro, and StreamPlayer, and StreamPlayer Pro. StreamPlayer, like I said, is awaiting approval. It's in its final run. It's been a year. I've been going through a cycle with them. And I've learned a lot in that. And we could talk about that in a few minutes. But that, where does NetMix come into that? So I'm like, well, how do I deal with NetMix now? Okay, I'll say radio stations buy NetMix, and then we'll take NetMix and we'll make a online radio directory of all sites using radio station plugin, right? You have TuneIn and other aggregator apps that are aggregator radio stations, and that's great. But there wasn't one specifically for WordPress sites that are doing that, and WordPress sites that are using radio stations. So I said, oh, I'll marry those together. So now if you go to NetMix, you'll see a number of stations that are using, you know, the radio station plugin. They have to ping the directory to be included, and many haven't. So I really have to do a better job of, you know, letting those stations know that they can ping the directory and add themselves. So there's a little bit of work to do there, but it's really still in its infancy. Even though it's 2005 and we've been around since 2019, it takes a long time to do product development, marketing, getting the word out, getting people to know. I have other things I need to do. You know, I have a 10-year-old son and my wife, and she has a business, and I have clients too with Digital Strategy Works. So it can be a lot in terms of what my work schedule is like, but we're really trying to facilitate the development of radio station and NetMix and build this ecosystem for radio stations to then stream and broadcast and list themselves in the directory to get more SEO.
Can I just ask? What's the primary difference? So obviously everybody that's listening to this, the people that tune into this every week, they don't really tune into anything. They have a podcast player. Typically it's on their phone. They might come to our website, but mostly it's on a mobile phone or something like that. And they don't tune in, and there's no schedule. They just kind of go through the UI and they pick the one that they want to listen to and they press go. Is the difference between a podcast and a radio station just basically that there's a schedule on a radio station, that programming comes out and what you hear is what's going out at that exact moment? In other words, it's got like a live component. Is that the only difference, really?
Yes, that is really the only difference. I mean, a podcast is an archived audio recording that you can listen to at any time. And it uses the feed function of WordPress to then publish posts with that. So then you can have a podcast feed going into your device, and then that feed can show you, you know, ping you when a new episode is published. With live radio, someone sitting there behind a microphone right now speaking, and it's going out just like a terrestrial broadcast, even though it's a stream. Some terrestrial broadcasters obviously are streaming simultaneously now. So yes, you're listening live right now. So you need to see what's the schedule in my time zone. So Radio Station Pro and Radio Station can show you what the schedule is. You can switch time zones. I want to listen to a station like Huntington Radio, Community Radio in Huntington in the UK uses radio station. And somebody could switch their time schedule to their own time zone and see what time. So say something's at 11 a.m. in Huntington, it might be at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. in, you know, New York. So you want to see that in your time zone. So radio station to show you that show in your time zone. So that's the advantage to a radio station to use radio station or radio station pro, is to show their schedule not only in their own time zone, but allow users to then flick and see, oh, that show's on right now for me at 3 a.m. I can just tune in right now and listen to it.
Yes, that's exactly right. With your software, can you, with the plugin, is it possible? So as an example, me personally, I've probably recorded well over 1,000 podcasts now at this point. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know how many hours that is, but it's many, many weeks of continuous of audio, but it's in an archive. So, you know, essentially you record one, you move on, you record another, and you never really get to sort of air the ones. I mean, they're still on the website, people can listen to them, but you never really kind of get a chance to regurgitate those. Is that the sort of thing you can do with this? Could you turn pre-existing content, like podcast episodes, for example, could you turn that into a scheduled radio station and then say, I don't know, put all 1,000 episodes in a queue, and when it's gone through those 1,000 episodes, it just starts again, and that kind of thing?
Yeah, they call that the software is a station playout system, right? It's a system that you can store all your archived or any, you know, whatever archived audio you have and create that on your laptop and then stream it using Shoutcast or Icecast into the radio station player and then post all your show schedule in radio station's show scheduling system. Our system doesn't yet have that functionality to take the audio and schedule the audio itself. We're just like a Google Calendar system where you can publish your show schedule, but we don't stream it because there are licensing issues with streaming that, you know, there are performance rights organizations for music and for talk.
Oh, right.
We want to make sure that we're just a tool to show you, to publish and show your schedule on a WordPress website and use Icecast or Shoutcast connected to a station playout system or scheduling system like AzuraCast, which is an open source system, or LibreTime, which is an open source system. And so if you use that and spawn your Icecast or Shoutcast feed from that, you can put your feed into our player. So you can schedule your program, you can take all your archives and use those tools to then, push the audio out through the stream feed and into our player.
Yeah.
There's a company called Live365 here in the United States that does that. And we're hoping to partner with Live365. So we're trying not to be the originator of the audio feed because there are expensive licensing components to that. And we also want to partner with companies like Radio.co or Live365 or, you know, whatever companies are in the UK that are doing live streaming. And we want to present the WordPress interface to their broadcasters to use for their websites. And we don't want to step on their toes, so to speak, and bring that and go down that road, right? We're really focused on WordPress, providing the tools for WordPress. The streaming providers are out there and they spawn their own mini sites on their own, in their own environments. Like Live365 will give you a web page, right? But it's not WordPress. So you can't do advertising. You can't set up an e-commerce store. You can't do a whole host of that. You can't have a membership, right? Site. But you can do all that in WordPress, right? So if Live365 says, oh, this is awesome opportunity for us to get involved with radio station and our customers can use it, then we could do a partnership in that way, right? So we're really not trying to step on the toes of streaming broadcast companies at this time because we want to be partners with them and give their customers WordPress. And then they can benefit, you know, the customer and that company can benefit from that relationship, right?
I guess,
I'm really taking gingerly steps forward in that and making sure that I don't overshoot my welcome.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. Yeah, there's some big players there and they've got their thumbs on that kind of content. When I was a kid, like TV had basically taken over from radio in that most people, mm-hmm. given the choice, would sit down and watch telly. But radio was still really popular. It was that, you know, you'd have it on in the background. You could be doing other tasks. It didn't mean that you had to sit in a chair and be absorbed by it. You could have it on
and
in the background.
Driving.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, perfect example. Yeah. You know, it's the sort of, it kind of just goes on in the background. But it feels to me as if, I don't know what the state of radio is, you know, that is to say, is radio in a period of, you know, is it in general decline? Like, and what I'm meaning by that is, you know, the idea of having a machine called a radio player that you would have in your house that you plug in. It's got nothing to do with the internet, nothing to do with any of that. It's just using the FM band, whatever it may be. Is that still a thing? And is it a thing which, given the generation that are coming up that have been brought up with a phone in their, you know, in their hand more or less since birth, is that going to be a challenge? And if so, I'm guessing that your plugin kind of meets that challenge a little bit, because it brings internet radio, it brings the radio into the phone, without the need FM receiver or something,
and on the as a in the web browser in Safari or Chrome for your phone, You can, you can listen to radio through our plugin because we have a stream player that works on the phone, right? And it works on the desktop because it's mobile responsive. And so, yes, but to speak to where is radio now, in the United States, obviously, you know, this country is a bunch of narcissists who only think about themselves. The radio industry here, people will say, oh, radio is dead, but it's not. You know, it's the number one format still in the car. I listen to the radio all the time in the car.
Yeah,
you have Sirius XM, but you know, there's a lot of people who can't subscribe, who don't want to subscribe to a $10 a month platform to get Sirius XM content or whatever, you know, whatever the provider is in the UK, right? For satellite radio. We're on to 5G, right? Where it's going to be, who's going to benefit from 5G is more streaming radio and not satellite radio. Satellite radio comes to your car. You have to have a satellite receiver in your automobile to then convert that audio over your speakers. Internet radio, hopefully, will start being more integrated in the dashboard. And I think that it already is with, you know, Apple has a car software system, right? So you can pull up things on your Apple car. So Microsoft has a car software system, right? So you're starting to see that progression. And with 5G and things get faster, you'll start to see more streaming in the car with radio, with more traditional radio stations converting. They try to go to digital audio broadcasting for a little bit, DAB, but that didn't take off in the car as much as they thought it would. So you're seeing terrestrial stations, terrestrial meaning, you know, over the air, to a tower, to the car, to the house. They're all streaming now. So you can get them all and tune in, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, somebody could go to Netmix, and we're not streaming with Netmix yet. Like, if TuneIn streams, but they have licenses with all the PROs. We're just listing the stations on Netmix, and then the future we may stream, who knows, right? But that's where it's at. And I think around the world, because radio station inherently as a WordPress plugin is global and it's multilingual and can be translated into any language, radio in America is shifting because there's money here. But still in the rural areas, radio is still important because towers aren't available, right? So there's a give and take to where radio is nationally in the US and the UK to where it is in the rural areas who still need those stations. And then globally, a country like India or Brazil, radio is still hugely important because they haven't, you know, those countries are, there's a lot of poverty in some of those countries, and those people can't afford to buy a mobile phone and get a streaming subscription. So they still need radio. So radio still presents a huge opportunity globally to broadcast and transmit information. And that's, I think, the potential for radio station itself, the plugins, right? Radio Services Pro and Stream Player, is that where they're at that intersection and helping those broadcasters stream inexpensively, right? It's $99 a year to get Radio Station Pro. And that's even still, we're finding in other global markets, that's still expensive.
It's really interesting because in the UK, DAB kind of is the default now because we don't really have rural in the same way that you have rural in the US. You know, rural means that you live like a mile away from something in this part of the world. So everything kind of got hooked up to DAB. But what I find kind of curious is that the habit of listening to radio is just a different experience. Like you can go in and you can create in Spotify a playlist, and that's fun. But eventually, you know, at least I do, I get fed up of having to curate that playlist. And there's something quite nice about the serendipity of just tuning into something and saying, right, it's up to them what I get. You know, I'm here. Whatever you give me is what I'm going to get. I might discover something new. And obviously Spotify and those services have tried to take that over with music. But in the UK, we have a lot of talk radio, you might call it, where, you know, it's like a panel show or it's a comedy show or something. And there's nothing sport. like that, It's just one show after another. And I'm just like you. Whenever I get in the car, the first thing that I do after turning the car on is to put the radio on and make a selection. So there are certain areas where radio really holds out. Like the car, for me, it might be going on a walk or something like that. I'll put tuning on. Maybe it'll be a podcast, but maybe it'll be tuning or something like that. So I get what you mean. I mean, it kind of feels from the outside for the younger generation, maybe it's something they've yet to discover. But if you're if you can carve out that niche, be it, you know, playing this kind of music or having this kind of talk show, it feels like radio is another credible avenue for putting your content out online. And it's great, really interesting.
Well, all the DJs, I've been involved in house music, so I listen to BBC Radio 1 on Friday nights.
Uh-huh.
Right, so that's because I know that music is emanating from the UK, and those presenters are presenting, and they call them presenters, right, in the UK, where they call them hosts or DJs here in the US. Those presenters are bringing forward entertainment programming that I'm going to listen to at an exact time and place that I know is coming on, and I don't just get it whenever I want with a podcast. And with podcasts, you can't broadcast music. Right, there's licensing issues because it's an on-demand format, and that's a different license. So you can't really get music in podcasts. I mean, people do it illegally all the time, or in countries where maybe the laws are different. But in the US and the UK, you just can't podcast music, right?
No.
The PROs, because it's a mechanical license, and you need to license each individual song from each individual label or rights holder. You can't do a blanket streaming license like you can with ASCAP and BMI or whatever the PRO is in the UK, where you get a streaming license and you stream. Podcast is on demand. I click, I can fast forward, I can rewind. With streaming, you can't rewind. Streaming is only forward, right? So that's the difference in terms of the licensing mechanism. And to your point about listening, you know, this morning I got in the car to drive my son to school. Well, there's two points here that you mentioned. You said the child has a phone from cradle to grave, right? Not necessarily true. We don't want our son to have a phone at this age. He's 10. So we're trying not to have him be in the phone and scrolling and being addicted to Instagram and TikTok and then using that phone. So he has a regular radio, AM FM radio in the bathroom. When he takes a shower, he listens to that. Or I might bring the phone in and I might play his playlist on Spotify. But generally speaking, when we're in the car, he's listening to, when we're driving back and forth to school or going to soccer, we're listening to broadcast radio. And why? It's because morning drive, right? When you listen to radio in the mornings, the presenters, the DJs, the hosts, they're talking about what's going on in the local market. And you can't replicate that on Spotify. You can't replicate that on Sirius XM. You don't have local storytelling. So here we have Josh and Ariel in the morning on 104.3 Star FM, right in Asheville. And this morning they're talking about their lives, what's going on, what's happening in the local community with the school closings. You cannot replicate that in a streaming environment somewhere else in the world. And, you know, it's very hyper-local. So radio is moving, radio networks are making sure to make sure that their presenters are hyper-local, right? That's where radio wins. Traditional streaming radio over a traditional terrestrial radio with a streaming component, if you want to listen to your preferred station, over the Sirius XMs, over the Spotifys, over those kinds of things. Now, TuneIn is another story. If I'm from Boston and I want to listen to KISS 108 in Boston or some, you know, BBC in the UK, I can use TuneIn to do that. But TuneIn doesn't have, I think they do have a podcast, but generally speaking, you know, music cannot be broadcast over podcasts because of licensing issues. So that's where radio replaces the podcast, and the streaming comes, you know, from the local identities of the stations.
Sadly, the time has got the better of me and I've got to move on to another appointment at this point. But, we'll chalk this one up to, like, it's been a really interesting discovery of your journey, but also kind of like we ended up there right at the end into the philosophy of broadcasting and where the future might lie. For my part, radio isn't dead. It's just something that the internet kind of has kind of got in the way of a little bit. But in the same way that vinyl seems to be having a massive comeback, I mean, truly massive comeback over this side of the pond, I'm wondering if people will, you know, get fed up of things like Spotify and return to radio and discover their radio station of choice and things. And obviously Netmix and all of the different plugins that you mentioned, I will be sure to include those in the show notes so that people can go and explore and see what it is that you're offering. So sadly, time has got the better of us. But Tony, what an interesting story. Thanks for telling us about your life, your journey, and your WordPress plugin products. That's great. Thanks so much.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was really great for you to tap in with me and allow me to share my story on your very popular podcast. I'm grateful to be part of the WordPress community, and I just, you know, look forward to continuing the conversation at some other point.
Yeah, thank you very much, Tony.
We'll see you.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully I'll see you at a WordCamp somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be nice. Nice to speak to you, Tony. Yeah. Thanks so much. Cheers.
Okay, you take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, that's all we've got time for today. Hope you enjoyed that. If you did, or if you didn't, head to wpbuilds.com, search for episode number 410, and leave us a comment on the WP Builds website. We really enjoy it when people do that. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. You can find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also supported by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. This podcast is also made possible by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of roller coaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Well, try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and Omnisend for their continuing ongoing support of the WP Builds podcast. Okay, that's all we've got time for today. Just a couple of reminders. Join us Mondays, 2 p.m. UK time. Most Mondays, we might have a few off around the WordCamp Asia experience, but join us anyway when we're there, wpbuilds.com/live, and sign up at /subscribe. We'll keep you posted when we produce new content. Okay, I'm going to fade in some cheesy music and say, stay safe, have a good week. Bye-bye for now.